Once I have sworn by my holiness, God says, I will not lie to David. His seed, Israel, his seed shall endure forever. How long is forever? It's forever. You don't have to look that up in the Hebrew or the Greek. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to Love Never Fails. We continue with Pastor Bill's series, The Good Book, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans today. Pastor's next message is entitled, Has God Rejected Israel? Let's find out. Now, Pastor.
Amen. Turning your Bibles with me to the New Testament book of Romans. We're in chapter 11 this morning. Now, remember that chapters 9, 10, and 11, they are indeed the most overlooked chapters in the book of Romans. Matter of fact, they're the least taught in most churches because the church believes, many sincere believers believe, that the church has replaced Israel. That's called replacement theology. We hold that that's not true. We know from Scripture that when God says He makes an eternal, everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel, that means it's forever and ever because God cannot lie. And the covenant that God made with Abraham all those thousands of years ago, listen, it's an eternal, everlasting covenant. Now, that means that it's predicated not upon Israel's faithfulness or obedience, but it's predicated the covenant upon God's faithfulness. Amen? So with all that being said this morning, chapter 11, you know, 9 is about Israel's past, 10 is about Israel's present state, but chapter 11 is so important to us. I pray that even though it's kind of hard to follow along this morning in these verses, I pray that you remain open to this text because it's vital to us, the Gentiles, to understand this about the nation of Israel. So the question is then that Paul's going to bring to us, has God finally, totally, completely just rejected Israel, tossed them aside? Well, we don't believe that, but let's find out why. Beginning in Romans 11 this morning, verse 1. Paul writes and he says this, I say then, has God cast away, has he disowned, has he totally rejected, has he cast away his people, meaning Israel? Then Paul says, impossible. God forbid, it'll never, never happen. In other words, he says, certainly not. And the reason, he says, I'm also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. So it's impossible. Paul says, listen, I am living proof that God has never cast away his people because I am a Jew. You know, the Bible tells us that we either belong to the Lord or we don't belong to the Lord. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of the Lord stands sure. The Lord knows those who are his. Paul belonged to the Lord. He was a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. He's saying, listen, I am living proof. Now, with all that being said, the reason that this chapter is so important, if God has cast away Israel, if he's through with the nation of Israel, then we might as well leave right now and let's all go, well, I guess it would be lunchtime, instead of the Cracker Barrel would hit Luby's, right? And we might as well fold up the Bible and never read it again. Because if God has cast away Israel, we can never, ever, ever trust the word of God again. That's how important that this chapter is. Let me give you a few scriptures about God's faithfulness. Psalm 89, verse 31. God says this, if they, meaning Israel, if they break my statutes, don't keep my commandments. In other words, if they sin, even if they're disobedient, he says, okay, I'm going to punish their transgression. I'm going to punish their iniquity. But listen carefully. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, nevertheless, God says, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, meaning Israel, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, God says, nor will I alter the word that has gone out from my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, God says, I will not lie to David, his seed, Israel, his seed shall endure forever. Say that with me, forever. How long is forever? It's forever. You don't have to look that up in the Hebrew or the Greek, amen? No, and his throne as the sun before him, and it shall be established forever like the moon. Now, the psalmist says again in Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Listen very carefully about the nation of Israel. That's our prophetic timepiece, isn't it? We look to Israel. You know, see, the people that say that the church has replaced Israel, well, that means they're saying, well, we're the ones that's going to go through the great tribulation period. We're the people that's located in the book of Revelation, our heads being chopped off and all of that. Loved one, listen to me. The church is not mentioned again in the book of Revelation after chapter 4, verse 1, until you get to chapter 19. It's all about Israel. It's all about Israel. Listen, no, God loves the nation of Israel. It has always been my prayer. When I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as I know that you do, I pray that every nation that is against Israel, they've been trying to destroy Israel from the very beginning. You know, every nation, they should wake up, because I'm going to tell you something. God's word is true, and every man can be a liar. Amen. Listen, Israel will outlive every nation on earth. Every nation. Listen, the Lord is going to return there. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Paul says, now, if you didn't really get this, look at verse 2. He says, God has not cast away his people, the ones that are disobedient, remember from last week. He says, whom he foreknew, knowing he knew their destiny from all eternity because he selected them. He foreknew, or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? Remember Elijah the prophet, how he pleads or prays, literally, with God. And look who he's praying against. He's praying against Israel, saying, he's going to quote here 1 Kings 19:10. He says, Lord, they, meaning Israel, look what they've done. They've killed all of your prophets, Lord. They've torn down all of your altars. And look, here I am. I'm all by myself. I'm alone. I'm left. And look what they're doing. They seek my life. I'm next. They want to kill me. Ahab and Jezebel. Lord, don't you see? They've won. I'm praying against my people, my own people, because they've torn down your altars. And what have they done? They've replaced your altar and put the altar of Baal there, that wicked god. He says, it's all over, Lord. I'm the last believer on earth. Kind of like a crybaby, isn't he? No. Listen, that's like I hear people say, well, you know, I'm the only believer in the office. Well, praise the Lord. You don't know. God may have 1,000 more believers right next door. You don't even know it. No, listen to what he says here. But what does the divine response say? He's going to quote now 1 Kings 19:18. He says, God says, hey, listen, Elijah, you know, cool off. I've reserved for myself how many? 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. He says, even so then, at this present time, Paul says, there's a remnant. There's always that small believing minority according to the election of grace. And if grace, or if by grace, because of God's grace, that unmerited, undeserved favor, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it's of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Read that 35 times in a hurry. Now, listen carefully. God, since the beginning, God has never, ever been without a witness on this planet. Never. He had a witness there, a remnant in the days of Elijah. He had a remnant in the days of Paul. And God has a remnant today. Amen? So God has not cast away Israel in any way, form, or fashion. Now look what it says in verse 7. He says, well, then what then, or literally, what shall we conclude? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were hardened or blinded. And they were, because they didn't do it by faith, remember? It says, just as it is written, he's going to quote Isaiah 29:10, God has given them, meaning Israel, a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see, ears that they should not hear, to this very day. That was in Paul's time, and it's the same way today. Remember that Israel, they were seeking, or they were in search of right standing with God. How were they going to be righteous? But they did not seek it through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that you can be in right standing with God, is for Jesus to be your Lord, Jesus to be your Savior. They didn't seek it through faith in Christ. They sought right standing with God through what? The law. through works. But the Bible, we learned last Sunday, Christ is the end of the law to those who believe. So what happened here? Well, they didn't obtain what they were looking for, right standing with God, because they tried to do it in their own strength and through their own efforts, because Israel was ignorant to the purpose of the law, what it was supposed to do. And the law cannot save. The law can't make a person righteous. The law can't give life, but the law can certainly reveal our sin. It can't remove our sin. It's powerless to do so, but it pushes us to Christ. Amen? Okay, now that we understand that, the Jews today are doing the same thing. I mean, have you ever asked yourself, how are their sins forgiven today? Is there a temple? Are they have any lambs? Do they have a high priest? No. In AD 70, all that was wiped out. Well, they don't know who the true lineage is anymore. Whenever Titus destroyed Jerusalem. So how do they go about sacrifice? Say, Lord, I need to be forgiven, but how are they being forgiven? See, they're still doing works. I'm going to earn my way, Lord. I'm going to be good. No, that doesn't save a person, does it? It's always by grace. Now, why was Israel blind? They were blind because they refused to see. You see, just like today, if you're not, say, for example, a person, I don't believe in the Lord. Well, let me tell you why you don't. It's because the devil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the devil has blinded your mind, that mental blindness, lest you believe the glorious gospel and be saved. Well, Israel was blinded because they rejected their own Messiah whenever he came. And therefore, what happened? They developed a spirit of stupor, which means they were insensitive to spiritual things. Why? Their old heart became hard. Over and over again. See, Jesus told him, he said, listen, in John 5:40, he told the Jews, he said, you're not willing to come to me. I want you to come to me. I love you. I'm your Messiah. If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. He said, but you would not come to me. You were not willing to come to me that you might have life. Nothing has changed for the Jew or the Gentile. The only place you can find life is Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about eternal life. Amen? Now, with all that being said, look what Paul says, verse 9. He's going to quote now Psalm 69, verse 22 through 23. David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs. In other words, bent over like a bunch of captives. Listen, spiritual hardening is deadly. It's deadly. You know, I look back at my life, the times when people, good people, good Christian people, trying to lead me to the Lord. And I just said, I don't need any of that stuff. You know what I mean? I'm my own man. I don't need any help. I can do, you know, you've been there, haven't you? Yeah. And I'm so glad that my heart wasn't hardened. And then that day when God saved me, I'm so thankful. But you see, that's what happens, that spiritual hardening. Man, it is so deadly. And you know what disobedience does? Now listen carefully, Christian. Disobedience to God never leaves you in the same condition. It's deadly. What happens is if the continued disobedience, you follow me, it hardens our heart, numbs our conscience, and so forth. Remember, that's what happened to Israel. Or let's look back. How about Pharaoh? God warned him, let my people go, let my people go. And what did he do? He said, no. And his heart became harder and harder and harder because he wouldn't obey the Lord. The same thing happened to Israel. They kept denying their Messiah, and finally rejecting him. And what happened? Well, their hearts became hard. Whenever man rejects light, the light of God, the light of Scripture, you know what happens? You get a little more blind and a little bit more blind. Now look what happens in verse 11. I say then, have they, Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? Let me read it from another version. It says, has Israel fallen away permanently beyond recovery? Is this the end of God's program for Israel? Paul says, no, certainly not. God forbid. He says, but through their fall, through their trespass, through their rejection of Christ, watch this, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Man, listen, that's us, isn't it? You know, do you think that upset the Jewish people? God set them aside. What did Paul tell them? Okay, I think it's an... Paul said, listen, okay, it's actually in Acts 28. You've rejected me. This is the last time. He says, I turn to the Gentiles. In other words, that hardening and so forth. But, you know, whenever you would tell the Jew, you're not in right standing with God, they could kind of handle that. They didn't believe it. But when you told them that God says, I'm setting you aside because we're going to save the scavengers, the dogs, the ones that you hate, the one that if you even touched them, you would go home and have to wash. You wouldn't even let a Gentile come into your home. They couldn't handle it. They pushed them to the edge. That's why it says it was going to provoke them. God says, you know, I know exactly what gets you. You know, you hate those guys. I'm going to save them and I'm going to use them to get you saved. Is God incredible? He's incredible. And yet, you know what is tragic? Did the Jews know that God was going to save the Gentiles even in the beginning? Whenever God spoke unto Abraham, they had the scriptures. The Jew knew. What did God tell Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3? He says, Abraham, in you, one man, Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Well, all the families include the Gentiles. Amen. Now, they knew it, but they couldn't handle it. I want you to listen to me now. Satan, anti-Semitism, prejudiced because of a color of skin or whatever it might be, that's of the devil. Do you hear me? Prejudice is of the devil. Anti-Semitism is of Satan. He hates the Jew, but he also hates the Gentile, all right? Matter of fact, he hasn't ever found anybody on the planet he likes, okay? He hates everybody equally. Now, listen carefully. Satan has done everything since the very beginning, everything he can to cause hatred between Gentiles and the Jews and Jews and the Gentiles. He's done everything he can. Matter of fact, prejudice is a great sin in the church, and anti-Semitism is a wicked, horrible sin of the church. Let me just read to you, if you don't mind, like one of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, from the 4th century. This is a homily or a sermon that he preached. You ready? I'm just going to give you an excerpt. He's preaching to believers in the church. Watch this. He said, the Jews are the most worthless of all men. They're the murderers of Christ. They worship the devil. Christians may never cease vengeance upon them, and the Jew must live in servitude forever. God always hated the Jews. It is incumbent upon all Christians to hate Jews. Oh, why don't you go study out John Calvin? You'll find out, you know, the greatest injustices have come from those who were born again. How about Martin Luther? We just celebrated a few days ago, wasn't it? The 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, I believe. I may be wrong. I think we did. You know what, in the 16th century, do you know what? Martin Luther, he wrote a tract called The Jew and Their Lies. Let me just read a few excerpts from that. It says, know this, Luther said, know this, Christian, you have no greater enemy than the Jew. Burn down their homes, burn down their synagogues, take their silver, take their gold, forbid their rabbis to teach and their tongues, cut them out from their throat. 2 days later, after the tract was distributed, Luther died. Listen, anti-Semitism, prejudice is of the devil. God loves Israel. You know, Hitler, because of the early church fathers, you know, in other words, not being true to what Scripture says. That's where you get all the replacement theology today, you know, in some of the mainstream denominations, because, well, this is what Luther did, Calvin did, and whatnot. No, listen, that's not what God did. You can't take the Scriptures and say, okay, God's through with Israel. It's impossible. Matter of fact, Luther caused more damage than he could ever imagine because Hitler, who later, of course, loved Luther's teaching on the Jews, he justified what he did in the name of Christianity that swept all across the church there because of what Luther taught about the Jews. And you know the story. 6 million people perished. How horrible. I just finished reading a book I recommend. It's called Night. I nearly wanted to weep every page. It was so sad about there in Buchenwald and all the rest of the gas chambers in Germany. It's just terrible, but it needs to be known. It never needs to be forgotten. Now, with all that being said, now watch what Paul does in verse 12. He says, now, if their fall, in other words, Israel rejecting, the nation of Israel rejecting Jesus as Messiah, watch this, if their fall is riches for the what? The whole world, loved one, watch that. And if there, meaning Israel's failure, is riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, how much more will Israel's full reinstatement come to pass? He says, for I speak to you Gentiles, and I pray that you open your ears right now. He says, I speak to you Gentiles. That's us. For I'm an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, for if they're being cast away, that's a temporal thing though, but they being cast away, Israel, is the reconciling of the world. What will their acceptance be, but literally nothing short of life from the dead? Meaning what? The spiritual rebirth of Israel, the new birth. Man, that is the millennial reign. It is going to be incredible. Listen, life from the dead. There is an awakening coming for the nation of Israel, those that God called, that God loves, calls his own son. Listen, oh, it's going to be unprecedented. It's going to be an incredible time at the end of the age, and it is yet future, of course. You know, this will usher in upon this planet what we call the kingdom age or the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which we believe is a literal 1,000-year period of time. At the second coming of Christ, Israel will be saved. Listen to what it says in Zechariah 12:10. God says, I'm going to pour, or I will pour on the house of David, that's Israel, and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh, and then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. In other words, at the return of Christ. And it says, oh, yes, they're going to mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Jesus is coming back at the end of the great tribulation period. All of Israel, they will be saved. Now listen carefully what it says in that day when he returns. Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. I love that. Let me put it to you a little in a tender way, not to make anybody mad that listens on the radio. That means no other religious leader is going to make it, okay? No matter what they call themselves, no matter what form of religion, Jesus is going to be king over all this earth, amen? That's exactly right. We know that. And in that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name is one. In other words, finally, all the world, every person on this planet, they're going to recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether they like it or not. Amen. The government is going to be upon his shoulders. In that day when he returns, Satan, the 1,000-year reign, Satan is going to be bound. Peace is going to be upon the earth. Jesus is going to rule, and the whole planet is going to become like the Garden of Eden. And you know what? We're going to come back with him and see that. Amen? Amen? Yes. Oh, listen, it's going to be glorious. Now watch this in verse 16, talking about Israel. Has God rejected them? Of course not. But watch. For if the first fruit is holy, the first fruit is set apart for God, well, then the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, who is the first fruit? Abraham. Okay, this is from Numbers chapter 15, I believe it is, or 7. It's right in there someplace. It's in Numbers. Remember, they would make that offering, the bread offering, the dough offering, or the cake offering to the Lord. Okay, here's the dough, all right? And they pinch a piece off. They give the first fruits unto the Lord, okay? Is that piece that they took off, is it holy? It just said it was. It was set apart for God. Okay, well, if it is holy, is the lump holy? Okay, the pinch that they took off right there that we're looking at, it says the first fruit, that's Abraham. Who is the lump? That's the nation of Israel. It says, what if the branch is there? He says, who are the branches there? That's Abraham's descendants. Are you following me? There's no way that God, he's accepted Abraham. If he accepts Abraham, he has to accept the nation of Israel. Does that make sense?
Once again, we're out of time, but please don't miss the program on Monday when Pastor Bill will complete today's message. We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that your weekend is safe and restful. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.